Welcome to today's show. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast. I almost said tonight's show. Oh, Lord. I don't think I could do this one at night. Just 11:30 would be hard. 11:30 would be hard to do. But I did send an email out to our friends at Special Guests that gets us our interviews. In fact, they got us another great interview today. And for Tuesday and for Thursday, we have Bruce Venata today. And we're going to have another great interview on a Thursday with a person that participated in the 168 film project, which just wrapped up and stuff, and he's going to talk about his film on Thursday. So we're excited about it. We know that God has great things for us, and that we're going to see some amazing things happen with our broadcast. Josh Murray, that's the name they're sending me. Josh Murray, that's what we're going to have. And we're talking about his film and everything. So anyway, it's a good thing to see what God is doing. Amen. It's a good thing to see how God is doing the things in our lives. Next week, around this time, I would not be on the air. And next week, around Thursday, I will not be in the country. I will be flying over the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, arriving in Amsterdam, and then from Amsterdam to Kenya, to Nairobi. So the trip, the tickets, I told you last time, we got them at a great price. We still need to raise another $1,500 for the rest of the things that we need to do. So we're just trusting God to do the rest for us and bring in what we need. And we're trusting God. We just trust God, believe in Him, know that He has everything good for us. If He got the tickets, then He's going to pay the rest of the stuff that we need to. We sent some money already to Kenya in advance to pay for the conference. And we're going to bring the rest when we get there. It's always good when you're doing missions, and especially when you're just starting to work with a group, is to send them little bits at a time. And everybody wants all the money right up front. But I like to be there. Till I build the rapport, till I build the relationship. Hey, it's just, it's loving to meet people and understand that there's needs in other places. It's good to know that. But it's also important to know that God, you know, wants you to be wise in how you spend and how you do things and how you do, if you want to do great things, which I have a very special interview in a few minutes about it. If you want to do great things, you got to learn how to handle your business. That's right. You say, hey, you heard me. Your business, your home business, your home life, and your everything that comes along with it. There's no room, and I repeat, there's no room for you to be slack. The Bible does talk in the Word of God. It says a man that deals with a slack hand usually leads to chaos. And I'm just, you know, I'm just telling you what I've learned in the Word or poverty. Yeah, leads to poverty. Excuse me, and I'll look up that in the Bible Gateway while we're talking here, because I really believe that you have great things that God wants you to do and great things that God wants to accomplish in your life, but you have to be able to handle the things in front of you. You know, one of the sermons I'm going to take with me out there when I go preach in Africa, and my nieces were with me this last week, and I brought them by the station, check out what their uncle does, and they really enjoyed being behind the studio set and everything, and they're just asking so many questions and stuff, and they ask, how did you get all this? How did all this happen? Did you just go out and get these equipment? Are you rich? I was like, oh, I'm rich in faith. Praise God. And one day be rich in all, I'm rich in all areas in Jesus' name. But I told them, no, it took a lot of prayer, a lot of planning, a lot of performing. And that's one of my favorite sermons where I'm going to take out there to Africa to teach at the pastors' conferences. And I got some crusade ones as well that we're going to use. But we're trying to get away from the word crusade. We're trying to use the word campaign. It makes better for everything. It makes better for, and as far as meet, reaches people. Okay, here's the scripture. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. That's Proverbs 10:4. Let's read that again. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's important that you, my friends, understand that it is by dealing with every day, by dealing with the life and doing it diligently, not just walking through the motions, but having a plan, seeing what God's word says according to your plan, and then performing what God says to do is what's going to change things in your life. Where you say, I pray. Hey, we all pray. You say, well, I fast. Well, you know, we all should fast. And nothing happens. Well, my friend, sometimes when you've done all those things, you need to step back and say, what aren't you planning? The Bible even talks about the king, the great king. Well, look at the plan. Look at if he should go to war or not go to war. And understand, was it time to fight or time to negotiate? Even the great king looks at the plan to see if he's able to battle. You know, the word of God is something awesome that you can go back to each time. And when you look at life, let's look in your life right now. Are you dealing with anything with a slack hand? Are you being diligent in every area of your life, every day, every minute? Now, I'm not saying this is some super gospel, praise God, where you have to be over there in the word of God every second. We have to be following Jesus every second. And that's all you have your hands up for, loving the Lord. No, most of my time with God is en route. And let me explain that. I'm going to this place, I'm going to that place, and I'm speaking to the Lord. I have my hands lifted high. I understand that he loves me. I understand that he's part of my life. And I'm constantly in communion with him. A great friend of mine, Gerald Davis, who I'm actually going to have lunch with today at Papacito's, he said that he constantly is in communication. How is communication with the Lord? That it is a constant chain back and forth, that he is constantly talking and praying and being with them. I really believe that's where we need to be. Now, the prayer words are great, spending 4 or 5 hours. I have learned the benefit of spending 2-3 hours in prayer and breaking some things. But there's a constant communion that you have to have. And that also means that you have to be diligent in everything that you're doing. And everything that you're doing, you have to be diligent. That's just the way God is. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. david@revmedianetwork.com. And you can also give us a call at the prayer line and the product line. And just to get a part of anything we're doing, 888-642-4767. 888-642-4767. We're excited to bring you a guest that has become like a brother to me. We haven't even spent much time together, but every time we do, it's like David and Jonathan, and his name is Aaron Broyles, great businessman, and he's a successful entrepreneur, and he's known as dubbed as a serial entrepreneur. Aaron Broyles has successfully launched several startup companies, growing them into multi-million dollar organizations. He has acquired and sold businesses in many different industries, including technology, rail and transportation, fitness training, and consulting. This is an amazing thing. Aaron Broyles speaks frequently to companies, churches, and organizations. He lives with his family in Illinois. So I ran to Aaron at the ICRS 2013. Just met him again. Seen him again in St. Louis this last 2 months back. And he is awesome. He's written a book called Do Great Things. And that's all what we're about, my friends. So let me just jump into this interview and we'll be right back in a minute. You're going to enjoy it. God bless.
Aaron Broyles, how are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing well. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Yeah. I tell you what, we're talking. We should have been started a while back. We're just catching. This is his hometown, St. Louis, here.
Yes.
And so you get to just drive over. You don't have
That's
to fly.
That's I do. Yes.
You don't have to pay for no hotel.
No
we're
hotel.
We're jealous of this guy. Amen. So tell us about what's going on here in St. Louis for you.
Well, we've been busy, very busy. I've got a business right now. It's a short line railroad, which is actually only a couple miles from here.
Yeah.
And so that's been going very well. And then we've been out actively promoting the new book, Do Great Things. So that's
Absolutely.
Been a lot of fun, too.
Absolutely.
So.
And here it is, Do Great Things. And I've been taking some chapters out of this myself and applying it to my life. I really feel this man has a lot to give to you and a lot of different things that you can learn. And it's part of it is taking control.
Yeah.
Of what, how you act and how you react. Tell us some of the things and do great things that's going to help people be entrepreneurs, be better workers, and have bigger visions. Because I think those are three things. As an entrepreneur, you need to have those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things I did before I ever became an entrepreneur, I spent almost 10 years just researching the great entrepreneurs of America. And what I discovered was that it didn't matter where they came from, what background, level of education, how much resources they had at their disposal, it didn't matter. They could become successful, and I saw patterns of success. And so what I did was I just started identifying those attributes that they were practicing over and over again. And I found that those attributes don't only have application in the business world, but they have application beyond that in our personal lives. And so the ability to see opportunity others don't see, I talk about that in the book, and how to start to identify perhaps opportunities in our children that even their teachers don't see, and how to encourage those gifts and abilities. Focusing on the most important is another attribute that the great entrepreneurs exhibit. You know, they're typically in positions where they have hundreds and thousands of tasks that need to be done. And so how do you identify what's most important and then hone in on those like a laser beam and stay focused there? And again, in our personal lives, that's so important. And so I talk about a lot of those principles and how they apply personally.
That's amazing. Tell us some of the biblical backgrounds that you have for this.
Yeah, the book is really grounded in scripture. I weave the gospel message and just identifying who you are in Christ throughout the entire book. You know, there's so many techniques and things that you can learn and put them into practice, and maybe you can get some measure of success. But what I have found that most people, any type of success outside of God's will, it is just contrived and it's empty. And ultimately, they end up not being satisfied or happy. And, you know, there was an interview just recently with Tom Brady, all-star quarterback for the New England Patriots, three Super Bowl rings, future Hall of Famer, young guy, dating supermodels, driving supercars.
Describe a lifestyle all of us would love to have.
Right. And in an interview, he says, there has to be more than this.
Wow.
And so what I think is fascinating is that most people never achieve that level of success. And so what we do is we fool ourselves into believing that the next thing will make us happy. The next promotion will fulfill us. If I could just get this particular car in my garage, I'll be fulfilled. If I could just be married, if I could just be in this circle of friends, whatever it is, we've sold ourselves into believing that just the next thing is what will satisfy us. Mm. And anything outside of God's will ultimately leaves you completely dissatisfied.
In your book, you describe a climate of change.
Yes.
Tell me about how people can make a climate of change in their life.
Yeah, well, I think first, to create a climate for change, you have to not only know what needs to change, but you have to know why.
Okay.
And answering the why question is the most important question. Best example I can give you, my uncle was extremely overweight, unhealthy, drank, smoked, sat on the couch. He knew he needed to be healthy, okay?
But that's obvious.
Right. And he set New Year's resolutions and said, every year I'm going to change. I'm going to start exercising, start eating right. And it never changed. And then one day he found out that he was on the verge of a massive heart attack.
Wow.
So now he answered the why question. Why do I need to get healthy? And so I think in any change that we want to make, first we have to identify what the change is, but then we really have to answer, why is this so important? And so, you know, for me personally, spending time in the Word, I always knew that was something I needed to do, but I struggled to find the time. I always had the excuse that I'm too busy.
Yeah.
And then I really started to think about, what type of father am I going to be 10 years down the road if I'm not in an intimate relationship with Christ?
You know, that's true. And we were talking about earlier about the kids. Our kids are about the same age.
Yeah,
That's amazing.
That is. And three boys and a girl.
Yeah, that's just interesting. God knit us together. But you're the influence at
that's
home.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, what they see dad do, they're going to do.
That's exactly
right. It's your responsibility to get them to church.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your responsibility to go out there and show them. I tell everybody this: if you can give your family three things, you can give them respect for people, how to work hard, and have a faith in God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can teach them those three things, and you know, no matter where they're at in the world, they're going to do great things.
Yep.
And just like your book, no pun intended.
They're going to
do great things. And this book, and I've loved it because I've read it, and I really believe that it motivates you to want to be good.
That's great.
And it motivates you to want to do great things. And you have in there as well as like if you have a difficult environment, that environment doesn't contain you.
Yeah.
Explain to us.
Yeah, well, you know, I think oftentimes when we're in a difficult environment, we focus on the negative. We focus on the things around us that don't look good. I was just at Disney World at Animal Kingdom with my kids. Yes. Oh, boy. Animal Kingdom is awesome. Yeah. Animal Kingdom is awesome. We did the safari.
Okay.
We're on the safari. We're on one of the SUVs there, and we get stopped because a large animal is on the road way up ahead blocking traffic. And so we've come to a stop. So to the left, we have rhinos, these massive animals just 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. We have a giraffe behind us. We have an ostrich that's coming up. And after a few minutes, you know, we've seen all of the amazing exotic animals. My son yells out, squirrel, a squirrel. And all of a sudden, everyone in the vehicle says, where's the squirrel? And you can see the guide, she's getting frustrated. You know, we have all these amazing animals. And now all of a sudden, the entire vehicle is focused on a squirrel chewing on a nut.
Those things you got in your backyard?
Yes. Yeah, you can see that anywhere. But it really made me think, how often in life do we focus on these small things? We get so centered on them that we lose sight of what's around us. And so difficult circumstances, those are the things that God uses in our life to do amazing things. And we got to see that. I mean, James chapter 1 tells us to consider those things pure joy, because that's going to lead somewhere. God's taking us on a path to maturity.
Yes.
And he does that through difficult times and trials.
You know what? I look at my life. I tell my kids this all the time. I tell friends this as well. And I minister on it as well. I said, you know what? I see the success that I'm starting to see now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I look at my life and I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Mistakes or, you know, great decisions, it doesn't matter. Businesses that didn't work, it didn't matter. It taught me something.
That's right.
It made me realize it. And now I can, what I'm doing, and I love my life. I love what God's using it for, you know, because it's only going to get bigger and better. But it just takes, you know, just you taking whatever disappointment you may think is a disappointment and turn it around and say, this was a learning experience.
Yep.
What did I do right? What did I do wrong? How can I improve that? And then shake it off.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Shake it off.
Right.
And just start walking. I know you cover some of that on your book. Tell us about having your true voice.
Yeah, I talk about discovering your true voice. You know, I think God creates each one of us in an incredibly unique way. I mean, no one can fill my shoes. No one can fill your shoes. Only you can fill those shoes. So God created you in this way. And I think in today's society, we spend a lot of time not wanting to stand out. We don't want to look different. We want to blend in. And so those things that God has designed us for, he's made us in a very unique, creative way, we stifle those things. And we don't discover our true voice. Instead, we're sort of playing a game where we're flying under the radar. We're trying to look like something that we're not. And so in the book, I talk about discovering your true voice and really identifying your name, who God made you to be. And I talk about, you know, when you're at the center of God's will, there's no risk. The only time you're at risk is when you're outside of his will.
Amen.
And that's going to cause us to be in some uncomfortable situations.
It will. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. And see, we're knit. I was just telling everybody on the show earlier that all this last few shows that we've been doing the last couple of days, I was telling everybody that I told my kids this last month. And I said, no matter if dad's in the middle of a jungle, if I'm in the perfect will of God, I am safe in the middle of the jungle more than I'm safe in my house watching TV. Because I'm in the perfect will of God. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah,
and you just got to trust it. And I go to the most crazy parts of India. And that's because I know I'm supposed to be there at that time, at the season. I get calls all the time from all over the world.
Oh,
but
wow.
I just go to the places I know that I'm in the will of God.
Yeah.
And it happens to be one of the most chaotic places in the world. I said, you'll never have to worry about dad because I'm in the perfect will of God.
That's
and
awesome.
I know I'll come home. It's not a question. And the same thing in business, the same thing in life. If you're in the will of God, you're going to be okay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Give the business owners out there and those that want to see the success, because this man has had some tremendous success, and he's just really going on the cup of it right now. You're going to the cusp of it right now. I see God just launching you all over the place and being mentor to many people and just really being a real solid person that people can call and ask, hey, how can I make my business better as a business consultant or whatever? God's got some big plans for you. I see that already.
Well, thank you so much.
But give them some advice, just how they can make their companies grow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we shared about last time, but I'd love for you to share it again, just the biblical principles that they might need to have.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I think the most important thing that you can do is be in an intimate relationship with Christ. One that you're in prayer and you're in the Word every single day. And, you know, I think about Joseph from the Bible. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ends up in Egypt, and he works his way up to become, he's running all of Egypt and essentially saves the country, saves his own people, all because of the fact that he was able to interpret a dream that Pharaoh had, and he recognized a famine was coming. Now, when you look at that on the face of it, you know, was Joseph some great meteorologist and was able to predict weather patterns? I mean, no. He was so connected to the Lord that God revealed that dream to him.
Amen.
And so I think that's the most important thing, first and foremost. When you're in the Word and you're in prayer on a regular, consistent basis, God will speak to your heart. He will reveal things to you. He'll give you a wisdom and a discernment that only He can provide. And you can be the greatest entrepreneur in the world and have all the skills and the knowledge, but only God has that huge 50,000 foot view.
Amen.
And so to me, that's number one. You get that locked, and you're 99% of the way there.
Amen.
So, and then after that, I think applying these attributes, focusing on the most important, being in a leadership role, recognizing that God designed us for leadership, regardless of our position, and then being willing to take risk.
Amen. And those are some powerful things. Tell them how they can get your book.
You can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, it's on Kindle, on all of the ebook readers, and you can always go to aaronbroyles.com and find links there as well.
Aaron, oh, man, it's good.
So
it's
much.
Awesome to see you.
Oh, what a pleasure.
I have a friend here in St. Louis. I come visit now.
Thank you
all
so
right, thanks
much.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll be right back with another great guest.
And welcome back to the show. That was a great interview with my friend, and very excited that Aaron was able to be a blessing to you as well. And we're just seeing great things happen and seeing amazing things happen in our ministry. And just me bringing very, very special people to you. It's not often that you're going to meet someone like that that's going to be a blessing, that's going to minister to you, that's going to touch you, be a part of your life, and just bring him to you. I bet you didn't even know who Aaron was, but he's very, very successful. I don't know how many of us don't want to be successful in business, in ministry, at home. And when you look at all this stuff, you're just excited to see the great things that God can do with you when you put yourself in the right position, when you make yourself available to what God is doing and how God is doing it. Just amazing. Just looking at things, just talking to my friend before I came back on the air. Very, very excited about Kenya. Very excited about what we're doing. This is his second mission trip outside the country. He went with me the first time to India and first to Africa. Then we went to Dubai for a day and rested there. Then we went over to India. And I think we did only Africa for like 4 days maybe. So we really didn't get that much of Africa. But that was my second trip to Nairobi. In the last couple of months. So it was just amazing to see that all the stuff that we're doing and trying to get done and seeing how things were running. And we actually were able to go to the two countries and give them first and I'm probably going to get called on this, but I showed them the Nairobi part was really not that bad. It was basically missionary light. It wasn't really hard on you. Yeah, you were missing some comforts, but you had a lot of comforts that most missionaries don't get when they go out there. And then we went to India. And, of course, India, we're there longer. We're taking longer trips. We flew in, we ministered, and then we flew out. And we went to Dubai and relaxed, had a good shower, good food, and I actually found a Carl's Jr. and in Dubai, and then flew into India, which it was completely different and completely, completely off pace compared to everything else. And you know, you just look at that, and you're like, oh man, it was like true missionary trip. Of course, we're staying in hotels and stuff, but you're still going through the jungles. You're still traveling through things, and you're still, you know, having to keep yourself motivated and encouraged while you're there. I think that's the biggest thing that I run into when I go to missionary trips, because you can go anytime. You can go anywhere. You can just you have to make sure you're in the will of God. But at any time, you can be anywhere in the world doing the work of the Lord. And when you're there, you need to make sure that God sent you, and you need to stay encouraged. You need to stay focused. Some days, it's going to be harder than other days, and you just push through it. I mean, I'm always looking at that date that I'm coming back, that date that I got to be at the airport. And when I get to that date, it's the most relieving date. And it almost like I go into this slow motion mode where I feel just rested and don't need to do anything more than just believe and trust God to get me home safely. And I don't have to go and work it hard. I can just trust God that God is going to do this. And that's been my thing. And India was rougher for him. So he was a little bit like, we're going to India this time? I go, no, we're not going to India. We have visas for India. So he was just making sure if we're going to stop in India. And he goes, because I'm not feeling it. I'm like, bro, don't worry. I know India was hard on you last time. And I'm sure you're going to be able to handle it again. It's no big deal at all. It's no big deal at all. But I do know that, you know, it's just right now we have this great thing that we're going to start doing over there in Africa. It's going to start up. And we're excited about it. We're going to be doing the Global Mission Broadcast Center. And we're doing that from Houston. But we have to go over there to India and look at all the stuff. I mean, go over to Africa and look at all the stuff that we have to work with and see the limitations and what we can do. There's a lot of things I want to do where I want to get it, but it still has to get to that point. And we're hoping that's going to happen. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. All right, we'll be right back in just a minute. We have Miss Terry Squires talking to you about witnessing. And it's always good to witness, isn't it? All right, we'll be right back with One Impact.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Do you struggle with witnessing to others? Do you get tongue-tied and don't know what to say? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is based on my new Bible published by Zondervan, the One Impact Bible, and it's all about our one true God, the one person you are in Christ, and the one impact we're all called to do. And witnessing to others is a huge calling, and sometimes we miss those opportunities to share His message of love, forgiveness, and grace. But don't lose heart. We've all been there. Witnessing isn't all about our words to others, and even though that is an important part of our calling, witnessing also involves our actions. How do you treat others? Do you walk your talk for others to see? You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, we live in an information age. Technology is all around us, and we can communicate with the world with a click of a mouse, and we can share Jesus with thousands or millions by our words. But what if we're not living it by our actions? Others will turn and walk away. So what do you do if you are that person who does get tongue-tied? Oh, I have been there so many times, and I've had to hand over those moments to God. And as I stayed closer to Him, He showed me what to say and what to do, and He will show you too. Share His love with others through your life. Lend a helping hand. Give a compliment. Pray for someone. Share a smile. Give your time and help someone in need. Let your light shine through your life. You know, I'm a part-time registered nurse, and I only work a few days a week. But on those days, I pray a simple prayer. Lord, bless the doctors and nurses and patients today. Let our hands be your hands. Let our eyes be your eyes, so that the patients we meet today will see you, Jesus, through our care. So today, let your hands be his hands. Let your eyes be his eyes. So the people that you meet today will see him through your light. I hope his message that he gave me today encourages you to be bold in your walk and in your faith. Never forget that you have a great calling on your life from the one who knows you best and loves you most. I'd love to hear your stories of what God is doing in your life. Contact me at terrysquires.com and let me know how I can pray for you and your family. And until next time, make your one impact and change a life.
Amen, and welcome back to our broadcast. We have Mr. Bruce Vernotta on the line with us. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great.
Hey, this is Bruce, the second time with us, so we're excited whenever we get them back again and let us know what's been going on. For those that don't know Bruce, he has an amazing testimony. He's written a book about it, and we're going to jump into that, but just let them know a little bit, Bruce, about who you are.
Well, I'm from central Wisconsin here. I've started Sweetbread Ministries in January of 2008 after a bad accident that happened in 06, spent most of the 07 in the hospital, and ended up spending a lot of 08 in rehab and stuff, but that was the year we started the ministry. And so just been going, traveling around North America and other places in the world since that time and preaching about the love of Jesus and that God is still a miracle worker today.
Amen. Now, we're talking about a miracle that you don't see often, and I guess that's the best way you can describe a miracle is you just don't see it often. And Bruce was the victim of a very severe accident that happened in his garage, and I want you to go and just share with them what exactly happened that day.
Well, it did happen in the garage. It wasn't my garage, but it was a big, large truck garage that another gentleman owned about an hour from my home here. I was a diesel technician. I traveled around the state of Wisconsin working on diesel engines and all different kinds of equipment. And that day I was working on a Peterbilt logging truck. And the guy that I was working with, the guy who was the driver of this truck slash part-time mechanic for this business, he had jacked that truck up, removed one of the wheels, and been doing some other work to the truck. I was working on the engine. I get my part done. I'm starting the engine. I get it running to test my repair. And I'm getting ready to leave. And the guy says, hey, before you go, I got one more thing I'd like you to just to peek at for me, to diagnose for me. And it was an oil leak in the bottom side of the engine, so I slip underneath the front bumper. Most people have seen one of these, you know, great big semi-truck, not a small truck, but a big, huge logging truck. And so I go underneath that front bumper, and he had jacked that axle up, which had 10 to 12,000 pounds of weight, so 5 to 6 tons of weight on the axle. He jacked it up in there and removed the wheel. I slipped underneath it. The jack ended up slipping out from underneath the axle, and that axle came down across my midsection like a blunt guillotine. It just crushed my body flat between my ribs and my pelvic bone, basically. I mean, everything in there got crushed on impact, literally on impact. And this thing fell on me. Blood shot from the inside of my body out into my mouth in one blob, you know, and then it stopped right there because then everything got pinched off. But I ended up calling out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, help me, twice. I yelled out, you know, and as best I could, and I looked down, there was about an inch of airspace between the axle and the cement on my left side of my body, and about 2 inches between the axle and the cement on my right side of my body. So I know I'm only like an inch thick on the left side and about 2 inches thick on the right side. And again, that thing is, you know, a few inches, you know, 3, 4, whatever, 5 inches front to back, whatever it was. And so I'm basically got a section all the way across me from left to right, basically over my belly button. It's flat. And ended up at the scene of the accident, ended up dying. My heart quit beating. I lost the pulse. My spirit left my body at the point that my heart quit beating, went up on the roof of the garage, which, again, just proves what the Bible says, that we've got a spirit inside our body that when we die, it's going somewhere. And so I experienced that, looked, watched from above, and I saw that there was a humongous angel on each side of my body, and they had their hands right in the middle of my body where I'd been crushed flat. And they never acknowledged me or anything. They just stayed steady like statues, but they were very real. They were bright, glowing light off of them. They were big guys in long robes, and they didn't have wings. They had long hair, and again, they just had their hands right in the middle, and the workers started, the emergency people started coming, and I was watching everybody coming. I was listening to everything they were saying, and the last two people that got there came in the wrong door, which is a little detail, but it's one that I can only know if if I truly was up in the ceiling, which I did tell them that a year later when I got to talk to them. And they came in, and I was listening to everything they were saying. And one of those two people was a Christian, and she started praying for me, and she started patting me on the face and calling my name. And when she did, my spirit came back into my body. And, I mean, I felt my spirit was up on the roof watching from above, and my spirit came back into my body. My eyes opened up, and I got a weak pulse back. And so doctors make the claim that I'm the only person they can find in the world that has lived with five arteries completely severed. And because of that, it's garnered a lot of media attention. Yesterday, I was just on 700 Club again. And, again, it's just because it's doctor documented of the arteries being severed and that I'd bled out, but yet my heart started pounding again and stuff. So it was crazy. That's in a nutshell what happened that night of the accident.
Now, how was your relationship with God at the time before the accident?
Well, about a year before the accident, the Lord got a hold of me real strong, and I had lived 20 years of daily drug use and alcohol and pornography and just all kinds of stuff. And about a year before the accident, the Lord got a hold of me and ended up, I'd been sober for not quite a year before the accident. And, you know, we're attending Bible studies and having small groups at our house and going to church. So my life had really turned around in that year before the accident.
That's amazing. So God will intervene, whether you're 10 years with the Lord, 20 years with the Lord, or just a year with the Lord. You know, God is able to move in and to help you. And what was your first thought when you seen the angels? I mean, can you even remember that?
Well, it's kind of interesting. People have asked that question quite a bit. And when I was watching from above in the ceiling, they didn't seem out of the ordinary. They seemed very normal, like commonplace. And I think the reason why is because me being up there in the spirit and them being spirit beings, you know, on that spirit realm, it is common, it is normal, it is just everyday type thing. It wasn't a big deal to me until my spirit came back into my body. And once my spirit came back in my body, my eyes opened up again and my heart started pounding. It was at that point that all of a sudden those angels were a big deal. And I remember looking from above and seeing them. In fact, I even turned my head and looked on both sides of me to see if I could see them with my flesh eyes, which I couldn't. But it wasn't, you know, again, up in the ceiling, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's amazing because, you know, I've seen my angels as well. And the way I kind of like explain it is when you're familiar with them, even though you don't know them, you know them. In the spirit. And so when you see them, you're not alarmed because you know them already spiritually. And but like you said, your natural realm, it's kind of like, wow, just happened.
Right. That's exactly what it was. You know, it didn't scare me. They didn't scare me. But obviously in the trauma, the accident and stuff, the angels didn't scare me, but it scared me that I had just been up in the ceiling. And I'm thinking, you know what? I must be right on the verge of life and death here. And then the lady started saying that exact thing, you know, that I was on the verge of life and death, and I needed to fight for my life, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So,
wow, that's amazing. And now, was there a quick response? Was somebody in the room with you when the truck fell?
Yes, somebody was in the room. The guy that I was working with was there with me, and so he called 911 right away. And there was a guy that was just driving by. In fact, I hadn't even went unconscious or died before that first guy got there, because I remember him coming in, the first one, the very first guy. There was like 10 people ended up getting there, but I was definitely there for the first, you know, couple, you know, but before my heart quit beating and my spirit left my body.
Now, is this something you've done 100 times, going to eat the truck?
Oh, I grew up doing this, so a lot more than 100, yeah, thousands of times.
So this was nothing out of the ordinary. This is something you do all the time.
Yeah, but the thing is, see, the guy that had jacked up had not used any safety equipment, no jack stands or blocking, which was silly for me to be under there like that, but I have to admit and say that I had done that exact same thing, just used the jack itself as a jack stand and not used any safety equipment myself, which is a silly, stupid shortcut that, you know, you could get burned, and that's exactly what happened.
Now, did you see the angels lifting the truck?
No, they weren't lifting the truck, because at this point, he had jacked the truck up off of me already. He'd already jacked the truck up off of me, and he wouldn't touch me, though, because he saw me after he jacked the truck off me. I mean, I look like something out of a cartoon, flat across the middle, so he wouldn't touch me.
Wow.
I'm begging him to get me off the truck. He wouldn't touch me, so I reached back, grabbed the bottom of the chrome bumper, and I pulled myself out just enough so that my head was sticking off from underneath the front bumper, and that's shortly after that is when I conked out. So the Angels, the truck is jacked up again. The Angels just had their hands in the middle of my body where I was crushed flat.
That's amazing. That's amazing. How long were you in the hospital after this?
I ended up staying in the hospital on and off for a year.
Well, and a lot of surgeries?
Five.
Wow, that's
major,
amazing.
Five major surgeries.
Wow. And were you married at the time?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Married with four kids.
Wow. How where was your wife, and what was her reaction when she got to the hospital?
Well, you know, they told her that I wasn't going to make it through the night, and they didn't even expect me to even – it was crazy. The doctor, who was the head of the trauma center, told – and it was – she had to drive a couple hours. I got med-flighted to the largest trauma center in our state, which is like 2.5 hours away from my house. So she had to drive down there. So, I mean, she had a 2.5-hour drive. Somebody drove her. Her and my mom came together. But, you know, the doctors didn't expect me to make it. In fact, the senior guy had said that he had never seen a body physically come in that traumatized and still be alive ever. And so they didn't think I was going to make it. And so what my wife and my mom and a couple people from my church, they would gather together, and every 30 minutes, now this is hard for me to imagine. In fact, when I would relate this to people for the first couple of years, I'd break down crying every time I got to this, but I'm kind of getting desensitized to it after telling it so many times. But every 30 minutes that I was alive, they would thank God for 30 more minutes of life.
That's amazing.
That's how on the edge it was. Every 30 minutes they would tell him thank you for another 30 minutes of his life, and then do it again and do it again. And they prayed me through the night like that, and then the doctors proceeded to starting on some major operations that next morning, because they weren't even going to do a lot of operations. All they did was cut me open, hook up veins, pinched off a bunch of veins, just pinched them off, and hooked up the major arteries and just said, that's it. We're not going to do anything else. If he lives, then we'll go on and start to try and do some reconstructive surgeries and different things.
Now, at what point during this did they start seeing something was different now? At what point during this medical journey that you had did they say, this guy's going to make it? What point did they start seeing that they can possibly save you?
It was in that first week. You know, that first week probably. And there was different times then over the following months where it got bad again, and they were like, you know, it's sketchy. But during that first week was when they, you know, really started to talk positively, my wife and stuff.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, do you still suffer from any of the injuries that you have had?
God completely, actually, you know, one of the things that happened was they had to remove almost all of my small intestine. In fact, they had a 75-centimeter piece and a 25-centimeter piece that we were able to save. So they had 100 centimeters that they were able to save. And the average adult has over 600 centimeters. And so most people aren't familiar with metric compared to feet-wise, but basically I had roughly, let's say, you know, a little bit less or approximately 3 feet left. But the normal, the normal person has like 22 to 24 feet of small intestine, and I just had like 3 feet left. And so it wasn't enough to sustain life. I'm being fed intravenously, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm wasting away, starving to death. And that's when God sent this guy from across the United States, Bruce Carlson. He was actually from New York. God woke him up 2 mornings in a row and told him to fly to Wisconsin and pray for me. And the first morning he ignored it. The second morning he was obedient and he did it. And he flew to Wisconsin, bought a plane ticket for 900 some bucks out of his own pocket, and came and prayed for me in the hospital. And that's when God did a creative miracle, and I ended up, at this point, doctors say I have between 9 and 11 feet of small intestine. So again, you know, hundreds of centimeters of intestine came out of nowhere, you know, several feet came out of nowhere. Totally, I mean, they knew right to the centimeter what I had. They knew exactly what I had. It was measured, put back together, and then when this guy shows up and prays, you know, several feet come out of nowhere, creative miracle. And that's the reason why I'm alive today. So God healed that. He healed my spleen. My pancreas was really messed up, and that was another thing they were really worried about. But God ended up healing my pancreas, my backbone, my vertebrae were healed, the muscles, the tendons, or muscles and ligaments, all the stuff in my back. And everything, I'm completely 100% restored. I don't take any medicine. I don't take any shots. No. And they said I would be on pain medicine the rest of my life. They said I'd have a 10-pound weight limit the rest of my life. They said I have to take supplements daily and shots monthly and all this stuff. I've got nothing. I don't take anything. Not an aspirin, nothing. And you know what? I don't suffer for any muscle pain or bones or anything like that. Nothing hurts. I've got one little tiny symptom that I'm still fighting and still waiting. You know, it'll be going on 7 years now that I'm still fighting this one thing. And you know what? It's just digestive issues. That's it. And I believe that God's going to take that away at some point too. So you know. And it's gotten much better than what it was, for sure. But that's the last thing that's trying to hang on and give me some grief.
Oh, amen. You know, the enemy will always swipe and swipe at you just to try and discourage you. But, man, you've been through so much. You should be, like, at the stars in faith, brother.
Yeah. I should be, but you know what? And this might be an encouragement for some people listening today. You're right, I should be. But I have to be honest and say, even as much crazy stuff as God has done, there are still times where, you know, I just like everybody else, my faith falters, or, you know, I fall short and start second-guessing this or that, or whatever, you know, and I think that's just human nature.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, I know it's the enemy to come in and try and sow those seeds, but our human nature is weak and our flesh is weak, and that's why it's so important that, you know, we stay built up by praying, reading the Bible, and having that relationship with the Lord. You know, not because we have to pray, not because we have to read the Bible, but it should be because we want to just spend time with God.
Amen. Amen. Well, the Word of God says that there's some faith, there's little faith, and then there's great faith. And at any time, you know, we can be in any one of those categories.
Right. Yeah, or you know what? Something interesting to think about. We could have great faith for our finances and that same day have little faith for our health, or vice versa. You know, it just depends
absolutely
on different subjects that are, you know, different things in our own life, circumstances in our own life, and where we're at with those things.
Amen. Well, tell us about Sweet Bread Ministries.
Well, it's a 501c3 nonprofit, and you know, it's just a ministry that we started because of this accident and in the aftermath of this accident. And I travel around literally the world, mainly North America, and you know, preach and teach and tell people my testimony and encourage people to, it's sweetbreadministries.com is the website. We're actually in the process right now of building a new website. We've been doing it for about 2 months, and it should be done by now, but it's not. But we're putting some finishing touches on it. But sweetbreadministries.com, and again, I come and I speak at churches and schools and jails and whatever. So where is Kingwood, Texas?
We're right outside Houston, just by the airport.
Okay, and I was just in El Paso for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months back. Flew in there and, you know, that whole area and went up into Las Cruces, New Mexico, because that's actually where Bruce Carlson lives now.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, so you've been to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been to Texas several times.
Man, that's good, man. Yeah, you got to come see us sometime. We're just outside Houston. We're north suburb
right,
of the metropolitan area. We're just north of it. And
very good.
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find and stuff. And we could do a live show if you come out this way. If you ever get some bookings out here, let me know, because I'll get you on the air live. It'll be fun.
But excellent.
So Sweet Bread Ministries, how did you come up with the name?
Well, you know what? That was something the Lord had given me a dream before the accident happened. The Lord had given me a dream about this guy, Bruce Carlson. And I'd never even met him, had never seen him. And the Lord showed me him in a dream, and we were eating sweet bread together. That's what I can describe it as, you know, like bread with frosting on it, you know, and swirls of cinnamon, maybe raisins or something in it. We're eating this sweet bread together in a dream. And when I saw him for the first time, I realized that was the exact man. In fact, he was actually dressed in the exact clothes that God had shown me the first time I met him in the dream. He was in the same clothes from the dream, so I knew instantly it was him. And so I knew it was a prophetic thing. I knew it was God saying something, and he ends up praying for me. The creative miracle happens. And so, I mean, and that was like, you know, God had given me that dream maybe 8 months before the accident even happened. So because we're eating sweetbread together in the dream, that's where the name ended up coming from.
That's good. That's good, man. So you became very good friends with Bruce?
Yeah, actually, we travel together. I'm going to be leaving next week. I'll spend a week. We travel and minister together. Next week, we'll be in New York together.
And was he preaching and ministering before you met him?
Yeah, he was in full-time ministry. In fact, he's retired now from the church that he served at for, I don't know, 20-some years, the last one he was at. And, yeah, so he's retired as far as, you know, his day-to-day stuff, but he's definitely still travels with me, and we do minister together at times.
That's good. What's coming up next in the future? I know you were in the 700 Club. You've been on TBN. Tell us what's coming up next this year for you.
Well, we've got, like I said, we got a lot of trips planned. I mean, I'm booked every weekend right now from here out to the end of the year. I think I've got one, possibly two weekends open in December, but I'm booked for the rest of the year. I mean, we're all over, from West Coast to East Coast, down south, all over. The very next thing, like I say, this next week will be in New York, and then I go to Iowa, and then here in back in Wisconsin a weekend. I hit I'll be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then Oregon the week after that, back to Wisconsin for a weekend, back out to the East Coast, Long Island, Virginia, Minnesota, up on the edge of Canada, then into Canada for the Full Gospel Business Association. I'm a keynote speaker for their yearly thing, and so just bouncing around.
Man, that's amazing. There's a lot of preachers out there that would just die for your schedule, man. that's God, you know. But that's God driven. When it's God driven, you know, it just the opportunities come out, and you're not necessarily seeking them all the time, but people are calling you. And getting you going and stuff. What are some of the, just, we got a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask, throughout your speaking engagements, what are some of the testimonies that you may have gotten from visiting places?
Well, you know, one of the pages on our website on sweetbreadministries.com is called The Amazing Testimonies, and I've got probably 50 that I put on there. We've seen God do crazy miracles, you know, all over by the hundreds, literally. And because he is a God who is alive and well, and he's still in the miracle business today. I mean, literally, we've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. We've seen people get out of wheelchairs. We've seen paralytics walk. Tumors vanish in front of our eyes. Crooked bones go straight. I mean, we've seen crazy stuff. Stuff that makes me, you know, you're talking about my face should be to the moon or the stars. But, you know, there's times where we see God do a miracle, and honestly, I am just as shocked as the next person.
Amen. When
we pray for somebody and something really crazy happens. And I've actually even had some pastors chide me after the miracle happens, and I'll be like, show me that again, you know, let me see, you know, when the person gets healed, and I'll be like, you know, pressing them, and the pastor will be like, oh, great man of faith, you know, why are you doubting that God just did this, or what, you know, why is it surprising you? Because, you know, I mean, God does some pretty outrageous stuff that does, you know, that is, it's hard to get our mind to wrap around some of the stuff that God does, you know.
Amen. Amen. So
they can see that. Especially when you see it with your own eyes right there, you know, and it's like, man, because I know who I am, and I'm just a normal guy. And I know it's got nothing to do with me, but when we pray, God shows up, you know, just like he does, you know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to, it says that he hears prayers and answers prayers, and it's not just for, you know, certain people, it's for everybody, but, you know.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you stay humble, my friend. That's a good quality in ministers, and I work in the healing ministry as well, and it's always good to find another brother that's just humble and knowing that it's not nothing that we do. It's just, we're just being obedient. We're just going and we're just showing up, and so God can show up, and we're doing our part. We pray, we seek him. We make sure that, you know, everything that we can possibly do to get ourselves ready for any of the events, we just do it. And then we're all dependent. Now, Oral Roberts used to say that he used to cringe sometimes hoping that the Spirit would show up.
Amen. And that happens for me just about every time I go out. Absolutely, man.
And that's just so, you know, just if you ever get a chance, get God's Generals from Robert Slearden.
I've read them. I've got all three of them.
He's
the series of three. I've got them. Yeah, I love it.
Did you get the Healing Ministry one? The healing Evangelist?
The blue one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one of the three.
Yeah, there's a smaller one. The thing, what it's, it may be smaller than the other ones, but yeah, he's actually going to write 11 of them, is what he told me. He's writing 11.
Really?
Yeah, and so he said he's just on the top of it right now, but he's going to have 11 different series, and he's going to go a little bit deeper into the healing ministries. So I was like, awesome.
But you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Charisma, but they came and approached me a while back and had me write a book. It just got released. It's entitled A Miraculous Life, and it's kind of a play on words because it talks about the stories that happened in my life, the five main miracles that happened in my life, and how, you know, God wants to have everybody live a miraculous life. And so it uses like 40 different testimonies, miracle testimonies, as the medium or as the media to teach different things about, you know, living the miraculous life, living that victorious Christian life, because that is what God wants for each of us to have. I mean, that's the best testimony any of us can have, is to be able to live a victorious life in every area. And so God has given us weapons to make that happen. But we've got he's given them, he's issued the weapons, just like they issue the soldier weapons in an army, you know, but we've got to learn how to use them and be comfortable with them and so forth. And so this book, A Miraculous Life, does that. It goes through different testimonies and uses them to teach about these weapons and what it looks like in day-to-day use, so that, you know, we can get comfortable with it. And so I've been really excited about that book. We've been hearing a lot of really good reports and feedback from it, how it's, you know, really helping people. And and helping them to live that miraculous life. And that's why the play on words. I mean, I've had obviously miraculous life because of what God did with his accent and some other things, but that's what God wants for everybody.
Amen.
Know?
Amen. And you have a book yourself, right? Saved by Angels?
That's what the first one was, Saved by Angels, but the new one that just came out, the one that I just released, is Miraculous Life.
Amen.
The new one I just released, yeah.
Amen. Now, where can they find your book?
Well, they can get the Saved by Angels book, and that's through Destiny Image Publishing. They can get that on Amazon or most Christian bookstores. And same thing with the new book that I just released, and that's from Charisma Publishing. And that one is, again, available on Amazon or different Christian bookstores and so forth. So Saved by Angels is the first one, and the second one was A Miraculous Life.
Amen. So give us your website one more time for everybody.
Sweetbreadministries.com.
Amen. Thanks so much for being a part of our broadcast again. Anytime,
well, thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, anytime you want to come on, especially if you're in Houston, let me know.
I appreciate that.
And then we'll get together. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Good. Thank you.
Thank
God
you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amen. That was our brother, Bruce Venata, and he is awesome. Awesome, awesome. He's gone through a huge, huge experience in life. I don't know how many of us want to get a huge truck like that, you know, dropped on top of us to see God's power. But this guy, he soldiered through it, and I just don't know of anyone else. Maybe Gary Wood, who was in that accident, and he's been on the air with us too, that he was a walking miracle, that everything he did just was amazing, because there's things that weren't in him that were like in all of us, like a larynx and all that other stuff. But it's amazing, his testimony, Mr. Bruce Venata, and we want to thank him for being on the show with us, and to bless him and to heal his body completely with his digestive system. We believe it and receive it for him. Bruce, thanks again for being a part of the broadcast, and we'll catch you on next time on the Midwatch. My address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We'll see you later. God bless. Thursday, we got Josh Murray before we take off to Kenya. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.